Watch a documentary on Vince McMahon. I'm not saying we should go full WCW, WWE, but we should, like, dude, they should be incentivizing, like, Pablo Tellez to, like, if you break 5 paddles within the first 3 tournaments on air, then you get a $250, like, whatever, you get a bonus. like, create some kind of it, like, that would be hard.
Scratch the fine, start giving bonuses for that kind of behavior.
Dude, no, actually, like, we want people to watch. We don't want, like, Pablo flips somebody off in the crowd. Yeah, give him a fine, but slide the check over.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary.
For over 10 years, innovation has been at the core of who we are at Selkirk. We take risks, we test, we evolve. Introducing the Selkirk Lab 007. With an Infinigrid surface that lasts at least 3 times longer than rock carbon, and a titanium mesh layer for added power, while maintaining the largest sweet spot available. Because good is never good enough.
Back, Adam.
We back.
Trying to do stuff. Traveling's hard. Like,
well, when you're in Germany and I'm on the West Coast, that doesn't really line up particularly well. So,
no, it doesn't. The end of my trip to Germany, Marlon was with me. It was disgusting. We made a grave mistake, Adam. The second to last day there. Mm-hmm. We ordered some Indian takeout delivery. I believe this was the culprit. It was a little chicken tikka masala and butter chicken. And I don't think I've ever felt more sick than I did then. And like Mal and I felt it for like 72 hours of like not good. And the first, like, I couldn't stop throwing up. It was like hugging the toilet, laying down in the bathroom in the fetal position. It was, so I missed the last day. We were there for the ISPO conference in Munich, which was, I think it's the biggest sports business conference in the world. And obviously Selkirk had a big booth. Yolo was there. Franklin was there. Gamma was there. Like, there were a bunch of padel companies were there. They had a padel court, which is kind of cool. They had 2 pickleball courts set up. Just a really cool event, and had to miss the last day because couldn't get out of bed.
You were praying to the porcelain gods, Rob.
Oh, but really cool to represent Selkirk there. I was there with Jamie, who she was an emerging pro. Now she got signed to a contract I just saw. So congrats to her. I was there with Colin Schick, who is heading back your way here soon. He's heading back to Chapel Hill in February, I believe. So, and then
yeah, I'm,
Kyle,
I'm waiting.
I
told Colin Schick that I'm waiting for my, over 40 prostate exam until he graduates from medical school.
do some early practice on you.
I could be a little test dummy for him. So I was just as long as it's, I mean, he's a pretty man. Just as long as it's him and no one else, then I'm okay. Whenever it happens. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, doesn't even have to be in the office. Just
no. Actually, swing on by. It not to, yeah, correct. That's right. Little home visit for the doctor.
No, but he's going back.
Sorry,
he's
keep
going back to school.
Keep going. Yeah, I know. No. I know it.
He's going back to school. He had his PPA contracts coming to an end here at the end of the month. And what he told me is, like, I'm just excited to play like some money balls. He's like, I couldn't play money ball before. Now I'm excited to play money balls.
Shoot.
He's
maybe
I was like kind of first time I've spent some decent time with him. He's a good dude.
No, he is. I like Colin a lot. Maybe I'll come out of retirement for a money ball. Play with
there
him
you
and the prof.
You and Schicky?
Of course.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me and the prof right side on both of those partnerships for me.
Yep, of course.
Be ready to rock.
Have you hit some balls lately?
I hit yesterday, Robert.
Just out there drilling or what?
Yeah, No. I played. I warmed up for 15 to 30 seconds, and then we played some games. So it's a growing group. There's quite a few. I don't know how to describe them. Maybe like we just used to call them 5-0s. I don't really know duper wise what that means. But they're
low level, yeah, like level below pro.
Yeah, maybe moneyball
like
players.
Good
maybe that's what you call
good
them.
Pickleball. Yeah, good moneyball players. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly, and you know the Gilberts, Ryan and Eric Gilbert. They're back in town. There's a couple other guys that are, you know, around their level. And this Saturday we're playing Stefan Averne is from here.
Oh yeah.
And so is Jesse Irvin. So we should have some solid games.
I always forget Jesse has connection there.
Yeah, Kerry. So I actually never mind. I've already never mind. I've already said something like reasonably gross and, you know, so
prostate?
I'm just not going to say another thing.
That's just the medical. That's just.
Well, I'll
that's
just
fine.
Say it, whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I played yesterday for 2 hours and today I was unable, or it was very difficult. I shouldn't say unable. That's not sanitary, but I was had big difficulty wiping my backside because of lower back tightness and general soreness throughout my body. So there we go. I'm as gross as I can be to start off the episode.
Look,
and we'll just go from there.
When the weather's a little cooler outside, body stiffens up a little bit, Adam.
It does.
If you're living down in Costa Rica, that wouldn't happen. You wake up and feel fine.
there you go. So, been playing. It's been solid. And you were talking about the conference. Is there anything else to say about that besides for you were sick the last day?
I don't know. Just cool seeing pickleball in Europe. And we did like some play with the pro stuff and we did some exhibition and played around. We had some of the Padel players come over and play some, which was cool to see. It's just cool exposure for the brand and getting people interested over there. There's so much opportunity in Europe and Asia. It's growing like crazy internationally. And
I know.
Obviously you're more in tune with what's going on here with the pro side, with UPA and everything like that. So I think it's cool that we're having, like, we represent kind of two different, I don't know, segments of what's happening in pro
pickleball. We have it all covered.
Like, I've got the kind of the lowdown on what's going on internationally. You've got the lowdown on what's happening with MLP and PPA. So what's going on? There's Daytona this weekend. I know that. Are you going?
Yeah. No, I am not. So I will be the Masters in Palm Desert will be my next tournament, which is at the beginning of January. So actually this tournament, even though it's 2024, counts towards one of your tournaments for 2025. So Daytona.
Okay.
It's still rocking and rolling. And Rob, I mean, UPA also, I mean, there's an event in China. There's one in Australia. And yep. I mean, I think at this point, if you're ignoring or not worried about international growth and not getting a piece of that pie, it's a big mistake. So even the UPA, which is, you know, holding down US in a big way, they're diversifying and looking to get some of that international action. And I don't see how you couldn't, because it's very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, so that event's in January for Australia for UPA or no?
Yeah, January and then China, Vietnam, not exactly sure. That's at the very back part of 2025. So I'm sure there could be a couple changes with that. But yeah, the Australia is happening and it's not far away at all. So
yeah. I saw a little note about Kyrgios playing with Sock for that, no?
Yeah. Yeah, Kyrgios, I think so. So Sock is playing with Kyrgios in tennis. And I think the deal is that Kyrgios had to play with Sock for a pickleball tournament. So Sock's playing a tennis tournament. Kyrgios is playing. That's
fun.
Extremely cool. That's very fun. I'm sure there won't be any chatter or crap talk on that court at all. Even if they are down 11-0, 7-0, there will be words being delivered to their opponent. So, that's great. Good exposure, good followings for both those guys. And I'm sure he's got a bit of talent with the paddle in his hand, Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch, even though I'm guessing he's not going to spend too much time getting ready for it. But
no.
Who knows?
He is invested. I think it's a very partial investment in one of the MLP teams. Yeah. So I'm sure he's played before, but I don't think he's going to, you know, spend a month training to get ready for his for his tour event on the pickleball side of things.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of content type stuff, some commentary. I've seen him on a lot of pods. He has his own pod that's just really good.
I like him.
Yeah, dude, he's great. I think he's like, even at like the peak of like when he was getting a lot of hate in tennis, like he was so fun to watch. Like you never, it was like one of those things where you don't like he can act ridiculous on court, but like tennis is boring otherwise. Do we want everybody to be like Federer? Yeah.
I am in to the swag, the crap talk, even if it's, you know, borderline nauseating for some people. I'm done kind of going back and forth. I'm all in on the whatever. Hayden versus
do whatever
Matt,
you
right?
want.
Give me some personality. Give me some action. If it's over the top or even close to it, I just don't even care anymore. I'm still on board with that style of play and that type of personality on court. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, agreed. Let it rip, boys. We're not gonna. Yep. It's again. We're playing pickleball. Mm-hmm. We're playing pickleball.
We're playing pickle. That is. Oh, sorry. Some people get upset with that too.
No, picky.
You can't call it.
They don't like picky.
They don't like picky. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So basically, that tournament, Daytona. You start off with Palm Desert, and then a decent, subject to change, but a decent chunk of the 2025 schedule is kind of getting there. So MLP is going to be during the summer months. There's only going to be a couple PPA tournaments during that stretch, and it's going to be PPA heavy at the beginning and the end of the year. So I kind of like that instead of just having them sprinkled in throughout to have a slight kind of season for each one of them. And this is subject to change, but I think that's what they're going to roll with, and I think it's great.
MLP during the summer is what you said?
Yeah. So I think it start sometime in April through August. And they'll only be a couple PPAs sprinkled in during that stretch, and it'll be very MLP heavy. So
interesting.
Yeah, I think that is good. And, you know, I still think it's going to take a couple, if not a few years, to kind of optimize the schedule to where everyone wins, players, fans.
Yeah.
UPA, all that stuff. It's going to be a work in progress, and it's not going to be perfect. And, you know, I know some people, even not just from a playing standpoint, from a viewing standpoint also, it was a long season in 2024. And I think there's lots of different things to be done to make it better for everybody.
Yeah. We got two aspects of MLP. Obviously, like thinking about optimizing the product, making it like the format, the season, the schedule, the teams, the drafts, all like the pickups, drops, all that stuff. Then you also have like the business side of it. You mentioned, you know, it's going to take a few years to really optimize it and get it to where it needs to be. I guess my question is like, how long do you give it until you need to be like making money?
I think that's up to the people who are investing in it.
Yeah.
So
I'm just, that was just like posing the question to the ether there.
No,
you know, like,
no, I
like
get
how,
it. I,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's just kind of, you know, hope to break even or not expect a lot of return and just hang around until there could be a possible explosion. I guess that's what it is. And I think year one of the contracts is down, made it through. Obviously 2025 is going to happen in a similar fashion, but that 3-year window where most players are under contract for 3 years, we'll see at the end of those contracts and then what happens right when those contracts expire and how it looks the first half of that following year. And pickleball, that's forever away. You know, we're talking 2 years away, but that's going to say a lot about the growth and the staying power and exactly what pro pickleball is going to look like afterwards. And I am not exactly sure what that's going to look like. It could go a lot of different ways from my perspective.
Yeah. In respect to contracts, I did hear that for like guys that aren't signed right now, they'll move to, and this is hearsay, from somebody that I think knows what they're saying, but heard that they'll go to more like short-term contracts of like,
yep,
you know, they'll do like a 10 day, a 30 day, and you'll have to get certain results within that window to get it extended. And that'll be kind of like the new form, which I think, you know, one, yeah, a lot of pressure and a bit more cutthroat for the player, like to perform. But obviously makes a lot more financial sense without getting locked into a long-term deal for the league. So I think it makes sense financially. But it's so opposite from what is currently out there with like, right, the guaranteed salary and the exhibition style stuff to like these new up and comers that are looking for contracts to really have to perform in that window, where it's going to be an interesting, like, kind of difference between like the established players that have the contracts and these new up and comers that are insanely hungry because they have to perform because, right, they have these short term contracts. I think that's, right, going to inject a lot of competition. And I hope, we can find some incentive for the people that are on the set salaries to.
No, I agree.
Earn.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a special set of circumstances that even made these, yeah, contracts happen. Yeah. So to go more incentive based and shorter guarantees and less money on the guarantees, I think is absolutely what is going to happen when these contracts expire, because, you, yeah, know, it's just not an established sport like, you know, the big three or whatever you want. So to give those guarantees is not really realistic for what the landscape is right now. And that can, yeah, take a huge leap at any moment in terms of viewership or whatever, but how it stands to have the guarantees and have the amount of money, what it is not real, I guess, is a way, yeah, is a way to say it.
It's not real. And but think about like that'll inject, like, for you, Adam, as like a doing commentary, it'll inject a lot of like fun storylines, like, you know, this player's got to hit the quarters to extend his contract in this tournament, yeah, like that's gonna be fun, like people, like, because what we've always wanted and needed is something on the line for these matches, and for that to get explained to the viewer who's watching, to get them invested in this person's story. And you'll find some really cool stuff. Like, think about like Michael Lloyd, who made that run in singles. Like, if he had, you know, if he had to get to the semis or something, like, people are going to get invested in him, and then they're going to follow him, and they're going to become fans. And like, this is how you develop real fandom. So I think it's great. And that'll be a fun aspect to watch.
Yeah. You have to get like two semifinals in a 5 or 7 tournament span or something like that, and
yeah,
you get 30K or whatever.
That's fun, because that's people time, are really, yeah, you're really playing for something now.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you see it all the time. Regular sports, you get 1,000 yards, you get $1 million bonus.
Yeah.
You hit, you know, or you play this many games, whatever. And this is not coach related. So sometimes organization and coaches will like kind of screw, yeah, over the players to not allow them to get to those thresholds. But when you're out there, right, playing pickleball. Yeah, when you're out there playing pickleball and you have to make it here, or you have to accumulate this many, whatever, UPA points over this stretch of time, and we can talk about that, and it's like, you know, that's 50K for this guy, or that's this or that for this gal, you know, that's a major storyline, and that really can get you behind somebody and kind of get you going from a viewership standpoint.
Honestly, dude, they should. I watched a documentary on Vince McMahon, and I'm sure you did your documentary.
Seen it?
Have you watched it?
Yeah, seen it. Seen it.
Dude, but I'm not saying we should go full WCW, WWE, but we should. Like, dude, they should be incentivizing like Pablo Tellez to, like, if you break 5 paddles within the first 3 tournaments on air, then you get a $250, like, whatever, you get a bonus. Like, yeah, like, dude, like,
yeah, right,
like, create some kind of, like, that wouldn't be hard.
Scratch the fine, start giving bonuses for that kind of behavior.
Dude, no, actually, like, we want Pablo, people to watch. We don't want, like, Pablo flips somebody off in the crowd. Yeah, give him a fine, but slide the check over, you know, like,
yes, yeah, the check's more than the fine. So,
dude,
so
that's easy. But that's what gets the attention. Like, you know, that gets picked up and goes all over social, goes viral because Pablo's flicking somebody off. Like, that's the stuff we need.
I agree completely. you know, maybe it's an example, maybe not exactly to that extent.
Yeah, but flick off everybody. There's like, get in a fight, punch somebody in the crowd.
And there's five people on the internet that are just disgusted with what's happening. And well, I can't believe
they're still watching, they're still talking about it.
These are professional athletes. This sportsmanship is ridiculous. Whatever to those people, you know? There's always a line. You can't disrespect people. You can't, you know, do this to the fans or whatever. But show your emotion and let it out. And if you don't like that, then that's your problem.
You never want to ride the middle line. You don't want to be, you don't want to be kind of liked by everybody. You want to either be loved or hated. And that's like, that's how you get, like, you want polarizing stuff because that's what gets viewership.
Yeah, no, I'm with it. I'm with it.
So I'm with it too. Like, forget the people that are disgusted by it. They can yell at the cloud.
At the cloud.
We are Selkirk. We are pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah, pickleball.
All ages, family, friends, dinks, drives, Ernie's, ATPs, and whatever this is. 10 years in and just getting started. Here and not going anywhere. We are you, and you are who we work for. Family owned, USA made, pickleball proud. Selkirk Sport. We are pickleball.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about some partnerships for 2025. So
that's fine.
It hasn't all settled down yet, but I think we got a glimpse of it at the CIBC finals. Some of the possible partnerships, and I heard a little birdie. This guy, I have to disclaim it with speculation. You know, this is just kind of what's floating around, is that we could possibly have it at some point. Anna Lee Waters and Georgia Johnson partnership could be in there, and I like that a lot. From a raw power hand speed perspective, Georgia gets a little inconsistent at times, but when they're firing on the first or second ball every single point and trusting their hands and their power afterwards, you know, who cares about those dink inconsistencies? Catherine, great, well-rounded player, got a ton of results. Their winning percentage is insane, but I think a younger, more powerful, more raw, talented player to pair with Anna Lee Waters would be massive trouble.
Yeah, and as long as Georgia doesn't have to hit forehand dinks all day, she'll be fine. And there won't there won't be much dinking. So
no, like I said, there won't be. And I think that could be a cool partnership. I have no doubt that Anna Bright and Rachel Rohrabacher are not going to be parting ways, at least in the first part of 2025. But yeah, I think the times, and it's really, even though it's a rivalry, there's only been a few wins in there for Rohrabacher and Bright, and they were playing much better at the end of 2024. So beginning of 2024 and end of 2024 is different. But I just think the times that they did have success, they kind of went out of their way to find Catherine with pace. And you just can't do that to Georgia. So
what did they do? They beat them, what, two or three times? What was it?
I believe it was three. It's either three or four. But all those did happen at the end, or most, all except for maybe one happened at the end. But still, it's still a pretty lopsided situation.
Three times too many for Anna Lee.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Also,
you know, that's not acceptable.
Right. And I mean, who knows if that did happen, who Catherine would pair up with. But yeah. I think it would probably
who would you
be
think?
Tough. That's a great question. I do not know. I still think that whoever Catherine would pair up with, I just don't see how they would beat either one of those teams.
They wouldn't, but they'd be consistently in the
semis. They'd be consistently in the quarters plus, sneaking in the semifinals. Yeah. But I think it would be tough, especially with them being the one seed and the two seed, Anna Lee, whoever she's with, and Rachel and Anna being those seeds. And there's no half of the draw to hide on, that I would be worried for every other team to possibly make it through. I just don't see how an Etta, Megan, Dazan, even if they're, I don't think that they're going to be playing all of 2025 together, Catherine and whoever, Lacey Schneeman had a phenomenal run in the finals, but she hasn't been able to fully find her consistency from tournament to tournament. I just think it would be very difficult for anyone.
Yeah, no, I agree. That'd be fun to watch, you know, two teenagers playing together. That's what we need. And Georgia's got all got all the emotion. She has good fire. So does Anna Lee. They like they want to win really badly. That'd be a fun partnership.
Similar on court demeanor. And then for mixed, I mean, I don't see how anyone can win mixed, at least for now, besides for the one seeds. And really, to be honest with you, I think from what I've seen, it would be Alshon and whoever would have the best chance.
I agree.
I think Alshon is a pretty clear cut, but I think he needs to get someone with a little bit more fire.
And Alshon and Georgia Johnson, actually, like Georgia's lit Ben up quite a bit head on.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm pretty sure the Johnsons are going to stick together if, you know, whether they want to or not. I think Mama Bear Julie Johnson's going to make them play together for at least some period of time. But if they broke up with each other, then yes, I think that would be an overwhelming duo, Alshon and Georgia. But
Alshon's nasty, when is Alshon going to play with Annalise is the real question.
That's something to be talked about as well too. And
I mean, it can't be too far off.
Yeah, I mean, Alshon is not number one in mixed, but I don't think it's that far away. Some of the stuff he does on court, and he still has, you know, a little room to grow. Given his skill set and the fact that he's not a rookie, but he's not a veteran either. So, I think you know some of those guys who I love in men's, like a Hayden Federico, I just don't think they have limitations in mixed, and I just don't see Alshon having any of those limitations in mixed doubles. So, I know he's going to play a little bit with Etta. I would imagine he's going to play some with Catherine too. They had phenomenal results in the finals, great point differential percentage and all that stuff. But, from mixed, I think it's Alshon and whoever, and then and Ben and Anna Lee. So men's doubles is definitely the one that has some more question marks or some more possibilities. You still have the John's eye. I don't think they're going to break up. Maybe they don't play all year together, but I don't think they're going to break up for the start of 2025. You have Gabe Tardio and J.W. Johnson, who I know Gabe is not under contract, but I would imagine they're going to find a way to get it situated so that he can play with JW and men's. Then you have Fed and Hayden are playing phenomenally, super consistent. Fed's power has increased. Hayden has all that right side love. And then you have Alshon and whoever. I mean, I don't know exactly who Alshon's going to play with. When you take those players away, I worry about Dylan Frazier and Pablo Tellez. I think every now and then they can work their way in there, but I don't think that they're consistently going to be making championship Sundays or anything like that. Not sure exactly who, you know, kind of that slightly lower tier, what I would consider Dekel, Andre, those type of players. I don't know how they're going to pair up, but
Who's Andre playing with, you know?
I don't know. I don't know. Possibly he could be playing a little bit with Dekel. They had the crime dog, Tyson McGuffin and Andre had a nice run in the finals. I don't know if that's going to continue in 2025. I don't think that it is. So besides for Alshon and whoever, JW and Gabe Tardio, and you have Hayden and Fed, and then you have the John's eye. I don't know how those teams a little bit lower are going to be able to consistently beat those other teams. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to start 2025 and see some differences and all that, ripple effect of some of those partnerships breaking up and starting new ones.
I'm still waiting for the Triple Crown. I mean, not the Triple Crown, what do you call it? The
Triple Crown. That's what it was.
Triple Crown. Okay.
Yeah. I think tweaking the format a little bit is great. And you saw that in the finals. I mean, when you have the 8 and the 16, you have to have some different partnerships. And I think it injected some oomph into the event. It being year end, the gathering points all year for this one event, that makes it a little more exciting. But when you have the different partnerships too, and some of those different partnerships had nice success, especially in pool play, I mean, that's different and that's fun.
I think what's interesting, Adam, is that you kind of like went through some of the new men's partnerships and a name you didn't mention and kind of the whole mix of it, which is interesting, right? Because a year ago, it wouldn't be the case. You know who I'm going to say?
No, I don't.
Is Riley Newman.
Oh, yeah, Newman. He's, I mean, I still think Newman is in that tier below.
It's just the game's moved more to heavy balls, power, right?
And For sure. Defensive specialists are
It's impossible to play defense now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's impossible. To have that style is impossible.
Yeah, I agree. He's a consistent defensive player with some well-timed aggression sprinkled in, and that's kind of dead. And
it's not enough anymore.
That is my thing. Not just from my own skill set, but what I like to see from other players.
Same.
And I mean, this was forever ago, 6 months ago plus. I said this is dead. Like
it is
consistent play with well-timed aggression is not even a thing anymore. You better be bringing the thunder, especially to start 2025 when we're in, Mesa, Arizona, and it's 54 degrees and the ball is hard. You want to rely on defense.
You're gonna try to reset. Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. So I would still put Riley, you know, somewhere in that 10 to 15 range in terms of a men's double ranking. I mean, he's a very good player, but a couple of those skill sets in the top 10 above him are just
like those loopy drops don't cut it anymore.
The floating drops,
like you just can rip those now.
And some of the main, and one of the main things about Newman is the new paddle technology allows so much dip on the ball that his pancake is less effective. So when you did not have grit on the paddle, you couldn't find his
trajectory is going up. Yeah,
right. Everything's at the shoulder or up here around the head, and he can slam it down. Now those balls are dipping at his hips,
100%.
And not allowing that unique kind of extreme grip to get full benefit. So I think it's a series of things for Newman. Still very good, but not at the top anymore.
Yeah. It's so interesting to see how to see how it's evolved and see how if that's the direction it's going to keep going or what's going to happen in the new year with kind of the regulatory paddle specs and what's going to be acceptable, what's not. So do you have any insight into what's happening in terms of what the level of power is going to be?
No, but it will be capped in some capacity. So is it going to be the exact same as it is right now and no more? Are they going to pull it back a little bit or are they going to give it a window to grow even more? I'm not positive, but this aggressively affects everything.
Oh, it's huge.
What your weapon of choice paddle can do. And in terms of style, I mean, that could be the difference between someone being number two in the world or number 20 in the world.
100%.
It's all about the regulations and the paddle technology. So it's going to be very interesting. 2025, first month or two of 2025, partnerships, regulations, international stuff, it's all very exciting.
I think it's like, you think about tennis, and tennis went from the serve and volley, the Pat Rafter, the Pete Sampras, that kind of style to
fun.
Being where like you don't even have guys coming in anymore, right? Like you just have like you can't because it's so easy to pass, in tennis. So you have guys staying back. And that's what you're seeing also like in some of these international events for pickle for men's singles, like there's guys staying back now. Like not even going in off the return because it's too easy to pass.
Hunter Johnson might be the best singles player in the world. I mean, I know Fed had an amazing year, but some of the that Hunter can do to the ball in terms from a spin and ground stroke perspective, and how he follows his return in sometimes, but often doesn't. The guy is nasty and. Yep. That could be, it's a copycat situation. We might see some really, really good players starting to play a similar style to Hunter. Great win at the finals. And the dude is dialed. And I don't think it was out of bounds for me to say he might be the best singles player in the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, that the result's the result, So
it is.
So, I think
We're seeing a bunch of different changes in terms of playing style, and that's all dependent on what the paddle technology does. So players are going to have to adjust to what's available. And I still am not stoked that, like, it's right now, it's still such an unlevel playing field in terms of what paddles are out there and what paddles players can use based on their sponsorship and based on who they are, you know, playing with. So hopefully 2025 brings, you know, a more level playing field in terms of paddle technology and regulations, and we can see who's really, it just makes some players so much better when they have a hotter paddle, so much better. Like it increases their level by like 25%.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking, you know, 4 or 5 is a stretch, but some of these guys in the top 10 or 15, top 20, I mean, they wouldn't even be relevant at all with different specs on the paddles. So
100%.
I agree with you, and I don't think it's weird at all. Like, some people are like, oh my god, how can they not get this right? What is going on? It's still so early. Like, the sport has the pro pickleball scene has not been around. It's only been a few years, so I don't think it's weird at all that this is happening. Now, you don't want it to, you know, go 5 more years before they figure it out. Of course not, but it's not surprising that this is where we're at, and you know, you just hope that it gets level, the playing field gets level sooner rather than later. It's not going to be tomorrow, though, I promise you.
Yeah, and I think I haven't talked to anybody that kind of disagrees with the take that we should crank up the spin and tone down the power.
Yep.
I think that's pretty much consensus of like what most players I talk to want. I think it'd be more fun to watch. Longer Agreed. Points, more unique points, like get topspin lobs off of a dink, you know, like fun stuff. So I hope that's where we go. And I doubt they're going to dial back the power that much, but I'd love to like just let the spin rip, like do whatever you want, But like
third shot lob and then drive the next and come charging forward, like dude, like make some points. Weird points. Yeah, totally. Like super, it'll be super athletic. Movement and bending and all that stuff will be rewarded. Like, it would be extremely fun. So I am fully on board with that. Less deflection, more grit. Let the players be able to create and be unique with some of their shot selections.
It'd be so fun to watch. Yeah. So all of you regulators or powers in charge of this, please do it.
Please right do it.
Do yes, it.
Correct.
Give us
correct.
Fun points.
That's what we want. We want fun points.
Tip. What do you got for the tip, Adam?
I got nothing. I went through all my notes. They look real official here. They're
I love your notebook.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really a lot of good info in there. A lot of not really relevant at all info in there too. So, you know, tip of the day. Let's fire something. Have you seen anything recently? I'll try to think about some of my rec play that I've been playing lately. What has been happening?
I think everybody needs to develop roll dinks on both sides of the court. I think that's where, like, you have to be able to be aggressive at all. Like, that's where the game's at right now. You have, like, if you're just hitting kind of the one-handed slice dink on the backhand and waiting for the pop-up out of the air, you might be waiting for a while, and the points aren't that long anymore. Like, you've got to develop the rolls on both sides, and that's just where the game's going. So, you know, if you're out there still hitting kind of the chip dinks, work on that today. Go on the backhand side, work on roll dinks, forehand side roll dinks. It's going to allow you to disguise more balls for speed ups to be able to, like, you, they know you're not going to, they're not going to get hurt. You don't want to have any safe zones. Basically, there's no safe zones of the kitchen line is what you want. You want to be able to attack from anywhere and have it disguised from both sides. That's my,
yeah, thing. No, I agree with that. And I mean, I've done quite a bit of coaching on the pro level, but I have not done any teaching in a couple years, and I would teach so much different than I did back then.
Completely,
now,
completely
if different. I was giving a clinic or a lesson or whatever. And that's what gives me the most trouble when I get on court. It's the aggressive roll drops on both sides and the roll dinks where I get stuck. Yep. You know, I get stuck. I can't just, you know,
you're getting
take
pushed around. You feel like you're getting pushed around.
You do. And the thing is often when a team takes charge with one of those aggressive roll dinks, you have trouble getting out of it because all you can do often is just reset it plain. And once you reset it plain, it just happens again.
It's a neutral ball now. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't like get out of that situation of being on a string when someone has both wings that they can roll off of aggressively. So
It's Anna Lee to the tee. Just think about what she does at the kitchen line. She rolls both sides and she can rip wherever she wants. You don't know what's coming. Like that. Yeah. It's not fun going against that. Right. You feel like you're getting bullied.
Yeah. And I used to be able to just take a shuffle and a lunge step and handle everything. Now it's not like that. It's out of my strike zone. I have to bend more. I have to have better footwork. It's more taxing. And I feel like, you know, you attack me in certain situations, the hands are fine, I'll be good, but you can roll me off the court, get me on a string, get me off balance. And
you're going to pop one up. You're going to give a weak ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at your mercy. So, I agree completely. Even if you maybe sacrifice an extended point here or there in your rec games, practice those rolls. Practice the two-handed backhand, as it's very difficult to roll with one, even though with some of the technology, it's not impossible. But two is the play, and drops, dinks, roll them aggressively, and set yourself up. Don't just wait for your opponent to give you something, force it out of them.
Yep. And I think, just another tip that I've think about, like we're talking about changes in the game and with paddle technology, especially it used to be where like, you'd really have to, I teach like how to hit forehand roll drops. And I would say always like go tip down, you know, like really drop the paddle where the tip's down and then come up behind it. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that anymore, which is crazy. Like you can have the paddle horizontal, not vertical, straight down. You can have the paddle horizontal and it's still going to grab, which used to never be the case. So with the paddles, a lot of the older players have had to really adjust their swings and adjust their, how they're hitting the ball, because you can now grab the ball without having to drop the tip. So that's just one thing I see sometimes is like people are still have kind of the old technique and old swing, where go out and practice, like change it up a little bit, like experiment, go more horizontal on trying to get the topspin.
Yeah. Switch that grip over a bevel or half bevel too on mm-hmm. a couple different shots, variety of grip changes.
Especially from the serve, like go semi, like go Kwong, you know, Kwong Dong, go
QD,
semi-Western.
Yeah, just bend your knees, get underneath that ball. A little more difficult to do, but you can reap the rewards and the benefits if you're doing it right. So agree completely, Robert.
Adam, we can wrap this up by talking a little bit about there's a lot of stuff happening internationally. There's three different Indian team leagues now. Global Sports has entered the conversation, and they are having, I think, 10 teams with 5 players each. And I think 20 of the 50 players must be Indian, which is cool.
Oh, okay. I like it.
And each team has what they call a marquee player, which is like the first, basically the captain of the team. So you'll have 10 marquee players. The marquee players are guaranteed $20,000, I believe. I think the second player in the next tier down is getting like 14.5 or something like that.
Okay.
So we're talking pretty good money again. And there's two other leagues that are paying pretty similar, right? You have PWR, which is guaranteeing you $15,000 for participating, getting drafted. And then the winners, I think, get $45,000 each. You have World Pickleball League, which I don't know if there's a set amount, but I've heard anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20, up to $25,000 for some players for participating.
This is per event or for the season?
This is for a January event.
Wow.
But it's it's a 1 week kind of league type deal for most of them.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we're talking good money for like a lot of players that have never gotten a paycheck like that, you know, because there's three different leagues and then none of the UPA players can play it. So you have kind of what an opportunity for the players in India to really kick off their careers by making some real money here. And, you know, have an opportunity to play full time. So this is the stuff that's going to be happening where in India especially, like people like call it ex-tennis players are going to see this and they're like, oh my God, like there's real money in this. I'm going to switch over. Like this is going to be a big deal in terms of getting awareness for players to actually jump in and get good at the sport. Because as you always say, Adam,
when there's a game
and there's money involved,
people will be good at it.
People will be good at it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of it. Come on. It's time. We got a kid. This is your 15 seconds, AJ.
AJ, you're here, buddy.
AJ, go back to mom.
He's looking at Corinne like,
yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Like looks at you, questions it, looks at her. Yeah, there you go.
It's like doing good. Oh, that was horrible. What a way to end.
Yeah, that's perfect. And we're gonna go a little bit deeper on some of our next couple episodes about some of the international stuff before 2025 gets going. And I think it's just extremely important.
It's happening. If anybody, right. I do have, I sent it over to you, Adam, but I'm, along with my buddy Clay Hebert, I'm hosting an event called Brain Drops, co-hosting an event called Brain Drops, which is like, for those of you that are into business, entrepreneur type stuff, as well as at least like a 4-0 pickleball player, if you want to join us in Scottsdale, January 3rd to 7th, we have space available. We rented basically like a mansion that has three pickleball courts. Yeah, three pickleball courts at a house. Pretty sick.
Oh, sweet.
But shoot me a message if interested. We have a couple spots available. I can send you over some info, and that's my little shameless plug.
Well, I might have to pop in on the way to Palm Desert because I think
you should, Adam.
That matches up nicely. So three courts, eh?
Three courts. We can have a little. There's a nice pool. We can have a little, you know, little podcast there. It'd be fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of stuff on the slate. Exciting times. I've said exciting about 11 times in this episode, but it is so a lot, new stuff happening. 2025, fresh year.
Yeah.
Fresh stuff. Fresh locations. Let's cover all of it, Rob.
I'm gonna give a shout out to Matt, Matt and Andy, who ran the Vietnam tournament that I was just at. They did a awesome job, dude. This facility was sick. It's like right in Ho Chi Minh, Saigon, in Vietnam. You had skyscrapers in the backdrop. There's, you know, beautiful lights. It was such a fun experience, and they did such a good job running it. The production quality was amazing. So big props to those guys running the tournament. Andy and Matt, I mean, they would be fun to talk to on here, talking about the growth of pickleball in Southeast Asia. Matt lives in Bangkok, is opening a big facility, has a big facility already, I believe. Andy owns the facility where the tournament was held, and he's also building another 28-court facility in Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam.
Boom.
So it's, dude, 28-court facility. I mean, there's indoor courts there, like, pickle is coming fast in Asia, so it's really fun to see.
Yeah, let's get a couple of those 28ers over stateside. My goodness, yeah, that's quite a few courts and good stuff. And we will definitely be having some international emphasis on the next handful of episodes. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Signing off.
Signing off.